WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. In the WBEZ newsroom, there sits a bronze bust of Studs Terkel, the legendary oral historian. He was a trailblazer whose MO was to go out and find ordinary Chicagoans and just talk to them, to make sure the stories of our world were told through the living, everyday experience of life. Now, Studs Terkel's work captured Chicago and its people in a way that no one really had at the time, and it helped shape the way that we do audio storytelling, specifically interviewing in America today. In fact, his 1967 recordings titled Division Street, America, solidified Terkel's place as the country's leading oral historian. In it, Terkel talked to 71 Chicagoans from different backgrounds and asked them about their hopes, dreams, and fears.
You mentioned loneliness. Has this been a factor in your life, say, as a guy, as a homosexual?
Yes, it has, and it doesn't get any better. It gets worse. But I feel that I'm no good to anyone unless I can be happy. And my one way I found recently to be happy is to give of myself in the theater.
A new 7-part podcast series, Division Street Revisited, sought out the people from those old interviews and finds them today. What happened to those people? What happened to those dreams? Where are they now? And what transpired in all these years that passed? This conversation was fascinating to me because the sheer idea of this project, going back, finding the people of the past, and finding their family members, that blew my mind. Just the thought of being able to revisit some of these old conversations. And if I was one of these family members, just hearing the voice of my elders all over again, wow. Incredible. Now, I was joined in the studio by two people behind the upcoming podcast, Mary Schmeek, who's a writer and narrator, and Melissa Harris, who's the executive producer. I started with Melissa, asking her, why did you want to revisit this Division Street project?
Well, when I came to town in 2009, I turned to my colleague at the Chicago Tribune, Rick Kogan, and said, I got to get up to speed fast. And he assigned me 10 books. One of them was Division Street, America. And I was captivated. And I was also curious because Studs, in his early books, gave everyone pseudonyms. They didn't use their real names. And I was like, who are these people?
Right.
Who are they? Who are they still alive?
Yes.
And so I had this vision on the 50th anniversary of the book, which would have been 2017, to tell the stories of folks in that book in the Chicago Tribune.
And so when you first set out to do this project, I mean, tell me more about the questions that you had at the beginning.
Well, here's the thing. I ended up getting married and having two children and never got that project off the ground.
Oh.
I ended up leaving journalism, leaving the Tribune in 2015. And about 3 years ago, one of my colleagues at the marketing firm I run, we were having drinks, and she said, you know, I told her this story, and she said, you know, the Chicago History Museum and WFMT have digitized, and the Library of Congress have digitized the recordings.
That's right.
And
you thought, jackpot.
That is exactly what I thought.
Jackpot being a word for podcast.
Because because when I first went and looked at these, they were real tapes back in 2009 when I was trying to unmask who these people were. And it was just a mess mm-hmm. in the basement of the Chicago History Museum. It was reel to reel, like real tape, old fashioned cassettes. I mean, they're so ancient, I wouldn't even know how to describe them. And, you know, it just was too hard to do. But now with the digitized recordings, it mm-hmm. suddenly became something that I thought, this is now possible.
It brought it back to life. And for the person listening now who's still unclear, what would you say is so powerful, Mary, about Turkle's Division Street? I mean, on its surface, he just recorded some Chicagoans talking about their dreams, as I mentioned. But what made this such a defining moment for him as a journalist and for us as a city and people?
Well, let me begin by telling you the story of how I encountered Division Street. Now, I've lived in Chicago since 1985. I wrote a column at the Chicago Tribune. I have been out and about in this city reporting on it in every nook and cranny, and I really thought I knew Chicago.
Right.
And then Melissa came to me in late, 2021, and said, I have an idea. Let's make a podcast. Have you read Division Street by Studs Terkel? And I was embarrassed to say no, I hadn't. I'd read others of his books. I knew Studs, but I had not read Division Street.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. She gave me her book. I said, I'll sit and I'll read it. I had COVID. I started reading it. And I found it electrifying. This portrait of the 1960s that he was creating just with this accumulation of interviews.
Yeah.
So these are oral histories. I mean, I think a lot of people know what oral history means, but not everyone does. It's basically people telling their own story.
Right, and people from all different walks of life.
In their own words, right? So 71 people, you know, immigrants or people of recent immigrant heritage, Black, white, Polish, Irish, you know, the cop, the actor.
The janitor.
Yeah, the janitor. Everybody. And as I sat there reading this, I had COVID, I just thought, wow, I am seeing the 1960s, an era in which I was alive, in a whole new way. I'm seeing Chicago in a whole new way.
I love that.
And that's, to me, that's been the power of this project that we've done. So just to be clear, what we've done is we picked seven people out of the book, people that we found particularly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we set out to find their children, their grandchildren, in some cases, their great-grandchildren.
So, Melissa, where do you even begin to look? Because it's been, as Mary pointed out, it's been almost 60 years since Studs Terkel's Division Street.
And we hit a ton of dead ends. The first family that we sought to track down hung up on us.
Oh, no.
We had to physically mail them the book because they didn't, not only did they not believe us, but many of these families do not know that their parents or their grandparents are in the book.
Mm.
And then the best moment in reporting is when we play the audio.
And they hear the voices.
That in some cases they haven't heard for 40 or sometimes 50 years.
Wow.
It almost always brings them to tears because they tell us that it's like they're alive again.
Wow.
I mean, they haven't heard these voices in decades.
That's so incredible. And Mary, I imagine, because I know Americans are always moving around. How did you find people? Like, not everybody was in Chicago, right?
Well, it's interesting because one of the things that I've thought about as we've done this is that it is testament to Americans moving around.
I think so.
You know, sometimes just from neighborhood to neighborhood, but this story has taken us to Phoenix for the granddaughter of a Lithuanian American tavern owner in Chicago, to Denver, to the great-grandson, musician, violinist mm-hmm. of a woman who was a civil rights activist and a janitor in Chicago. It's taken us all over. So, yes, people scatter. So, I mean, I started by just, you know, the old-fashioned
Googling.
Way.
Yes.
Googling. I just put people's names into
Good
Google.
Good old-fashioned Google search.
And, you know, when I was sitting there reading the book with COVID, trying to find a relative of a woman named Myra Alexander.
Yes.
Now, people who listen to WBEZ regularly know that on Martin Luther King Day, WBEZ always played Studs' 1963 train ride from Chicago to Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people, though she's not named in that, is Myra Alexander.
Yes. Well, why don't we listen to a bit of what she had to say to Studs Terkel, who ran into her on that train ride. And this is when she was talking about trying to get a job at a cosmetic company.
I thought maybe, I was too short or something. It didn't even register with me until I went on out and was walking. And I wonder why he gave me the brush off. I didn't even get upstairs, you know. Then it hit me. I'm colored. He was trying to tell me that they didn't need me because I was colored.
What else should we know about Myra Alexander?
Well, Myra was just so full of fire, and she just wanted to make the world better for not just young black people, but young people. That was her whole goal. And one of her favorite lines, she has a million great lines.
Yes.
But, you know, she goes, "You're never too old to be free."
Mm.
That's why she went to that march. But when I started looking for her descendants, I typed her name into Google, and I came up, you know, there are all these weird things on Google, like cluster maps and, you know, things that are not reliable.
Right.
And I found a set of phone numbers of people who might be associated with her. And I also saw a number purported to belong to Myra Alexander, 108 years old. And I went, yeah, forget that
sure.
one, right? So I dialed all the other numbers around her. They were all either dead or they were fax numbers or, you know. So I went back and I looked at the one for Myra Alexander, 108 years old. And I thought, I may as well dial it.
Oh, my goodness.
I dialed and I got a voicemail saying, "Hi, this is Joni. Leave me a message." So I left a message for Joni and said, "Joni, now don't, please listen, please listen."
I'm not crazy.
Very weird. And then I explained who I was and what I was doing.
Right. Well, Myra.
45 minutes later, I got a call from Joni, who was Myra's granddaughter, who had taken her cell phone number when Myra died.
Oh, my goodness.
And then she connected us to all these other people in the family.
Well, that day when Studs Terkel saw Myra on the train, now she was with her grandson for that ride. You talked with her great grandson, though, Alex Blocker, for the podcast Division Street Revisited. I want to play a tiny snippet from him, and then I'll get you in here, Melissa.
What I feel inside of me didn't just come out of nowhere. This was passed to me.
What else can you share about the conversation with Myra's great-grandson, Alex?
Just that he was so deeply moved. So he's in Denver, and he was so deeply moved to learn more about her and to feel his connection to her through her work for civil rights, because he has his own way through music to try to teach people history and to connect people to each other, and just how profoundly moved he was by learning this specific connection to her was profoundly moving.
So this podcast, you focus it on seven people now, and each episode, it's got a different theme. So including, you know, poverty or immigration, even LGBTQ rights. I want to hear more about the person we heard at the very top here, the closeted gay actor. We played him in the intro. What can you share, Melissa, about Bill Koza?
Bill was an actor on local stages, mm-hmm. primarily in dinner theater. This is another thing that we've learned, is that dinner theater in the 60s and the 70s in Chicago
was a big deal.
Quite a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that most struck me, you know, this is an era where the newspapers would publish, you know, there would be raids on gay bars and the names would be published in the paper. And what he did in talking with Studs in 19, roughly 65 or 66, was nothing short of courageous.
Wow.
Nothing short of courageous.
But we faced an interesting question with him because, again, as Melissa said, almost all the people in the book were there under pseudonyms. Some of those pseudonyms are more important than others. And Bill Koza at the time did not want his family to know that he was gay, even though, as he told Studs Terkel, Studs asked him, "Do you think your mother knows?" And he says, "Well, mothers tend to know."
Yeah.
But he said if it were up to him, he would shout it from the rooftops, but that he didn't want his family to know. And so we really had to reckon with, is it up to us to reveal his real name? And we talked to several LGBTQ rights activists and thinkers. We talked to a niece and nephew of his, and the consensus was, and an old colleague of his who was also gay and worked with him in dinner theater, and they all said he would want people to know now.
Let's take a sneak peek into one more person that Terkel profiled, a Chicagoan named Leon Beverly. Who was Leon?
Leon Beverly was a packing house worker, came up here from the South, part of the first wave of the Great Migration, came up with his mother when he was 4 years old from Jackson, Mississippi, wound up working in the hog kill department of the stockyards and became a big union leader. And so, you know, part of his story is the story of the Great Migration, the story of the stockyards, and then the story of the power of unions.
Yeah. And so for this revisited podcast, you sat down with Leon's son, Gil. How did you find Gil?
I found Gil back in 2009 when I was, you had this vision of writing about the descendants in the Tribune.
Yeah.
And he had no idea that his father was in the book. And I mailed him a copy with a handwritten letter saying, when you get this, please call me. And he called me in tears.
Oh my goodness.
Saying, I've just heard he died in the 70s, late 70s, I believe maybe around 1980.
Leon Beverly died in 1979.
1979. And so he hadn't heard his dad's voice in 30, now 40 years.
Let's listen to a snippet from Gil.
We just cannot seem to love. That scares me. We don't know how to do it.
He says there, we just cannot seem to love. Where was this coming from?
We were just talking about how the world has changed and needs to change. And Gil's a very philosophical person. I think he's probably in Rochester, New York right now listening to this because I told him that we were going to be talking about.
Nice. Shout out to Rochester.
His family today. And he was excited.
That's wonderful.
Hi, well, Gil.
Hi, Gil. So Division Street Revisited, it comes out later next month.
January 27th. Trailer dropped today. You can follow it on any of the podcast platforms right now.
So. And it really, it's an exciting piece of work, really powerful. What do you hope that we learn from this or take away? I'd love to hear from both of you. Mary, you first.
Well, for one thing, I hope we learn that we are not living in the first chaotic period in the history of the world. The 1960s was a very chaotic. It was a time of change. Studs often referred to the triple revolution of the civil rights era, nuclear armaments, the atomic bomb, the automation of work. So, you know, trying to connect the dots between that period of tumult and our period of tumult. We also learn a lot in this about place. It's about people, but it's also about places.
Yeah.
Chicago in the 1960s, there was uptown was hillbilly heaven. Melissa and I went around with a microphone at one point asking people on the street, did you know this neighborhood used to be called hillbilly heaven?
Wow.
And they all said, what?
They had no idea.
Hillbilly what?
That's so incredible.
So, and I think it's all, one other thing I'd like to say. I hope people who listen think about their own families and their own connections to their own histories. And when you said you'd been at Thanksgiving and seen your mom and dad, my first thought was, I wonder what it would be like for you 30, 40 years from now to have someone come to you and say, you want to hear your mother's voice?
Yes. I save every voicemail.
Wow. And people couldn't do that in the
60s. I save every voicemail. Because I can.
Right.
Same thing with my dad. Last word to you, Melissa.
This podcast takes people to places that they will never go themselves. They hear from people that they'll never hear from. We go to Elkhorn City, Kentucky. We stand outside the entrance to a coal mine. I think by listening to this, the world will feel less divided, which is ironic, given it is called Division Street Revisited. But it forces you to hear from people you otherwise would never hear from.
We've been talking with Chicago journalist and podcast narrator Mary Schmeek and podcast executive producer Melissa Harris. Their new series, Division Street Revisited, comes out on January 27th. You can check out the trailer right now. And WBEZ will also be airing episodes on Monday evenings in January. Mary and Melissa, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having us.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and edited by Meha Ahmed, and it was mixed by Ari Mejia. To make sure you never miss a conversation and to stay in the know on what's happening in Chicago, make sure to click subscribe. You can also find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
Love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.